Hi everyone. I think everyone's been on this call before, correct? Yep. So you know me, I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer, and I'm really glad to be able to say that I get to work with Marissa Gordon, who is my partner in crime in this, and we found out something that we have in common, and I wonder if any of you guys have this in common. We are big Hamilton-ophiles. Is that the right word? We love Hamilton. Yeah.
And so, Broadway in general. Uh-huh. Broadway in general, right?
Well, she likes Broadway in general. I like Hamilton.
Yeah, which is sadly closed now. They extended the closure now through June, till June.
Big Broadway person.
Okay, well, we don't have to talk about that. Welcome. We have plenty to talk about. You guys can probably unmute yourselves because it's a small group. If you know, there's background noise, I'll mute you. But Marissa, take it away. Oh, everyone right click and rename themselves so we know what community you're in. That would be great. And I'm gonna write Northern New Jersey. And
oh, I can't wait, Marissa.
Yeah. Thank you all for doing so. And, you know, I have to do a shout out for Christina because Christina is the co-chair of our older adult services affinity group, too. So it's nice to see you on this one as well. Okay, take it away, Marissa.
Oh, so we kind of summarized it in the invitation. I was thinking, you know, each time we've met since March, we talk about, obviously, the updates to our entities, how it's being impacted by coronavirus. But I also was wondering, you know, a lot of people keep talking about the benefits of working remotely, the benefits of that have been felt caused by the pandemic and causing us to have to work differently and more electronically. I know that in our agency, it gave me the opportunity to go forward on a couple of initiatives I had to be more digital. And we did that. So I was wondering if anybody wanted to ask or talk about technology that's been introduced to make things more automated or digital because of the inability to really meet together in groups or do things physically in person that we used to do. So, but I think, I mean, if we want to just start by going around and giving a quick little update so we all know where each of us is and how we're doing, we can start with that.
That sounds good.
Okay. I think I can see most people. I could just call names and just say, okay. So Tammy, if you think, Lisa, that's a good way. I mean, that's fine. I can't hear you. I lost you. You're muted.
So, I mean, you can tell us whatever you're struggling with so that, you know, we can talk about that, you know, as well. We have time.
Right.
It's a small group and every small group's a gift.
Okay. We actually, honestly, I only had a couple of months where we had issues with getting into homes. We're actually back into probably 99% of our homes. We only have a very few, maybe three or four that we're not visiting at this point. We're staying busy. I'm actually hiring new staff members because I need more openings, more schedules to work with the new clients that we're taking on. So yeah, I haven't really struggled. I had one homemaker that dealt with a client that wound up being COVID positive and passed, but because she followed all of the protocol, she wound up testing negative and never got it. So we had a, knock on wood, we've had great experiences to this point that it really didn't affect us a whole lot.
So I can say I'm Tammy's colleague. We work in the same agency.
Hi.
Digital. We actually gone back to the regular pen and paper kind of thing. We've gotten cell phones to do the electronic verification system. But that was mandated for our Medicaid clients. And we were going to offer it, you know, to other clients under the contract. But since then, we dropped the Medicaid clients for our home health agency. And now just doing the pen and paper kind of thing. They have their timesheet, they fill it out. And then we have two drop boxes, one North County, one South County. And it's been working, right, Tammy? I mean, it's like, knock on wood for us, it's just been smooth sailing, let's just say, considering the situation. We do want to go digital and, you know, more online kind of thing, but given the population that we're working with, our workers, you know, not, and we, Tammy and I, we have a lot of older workers that are not very good with technology. And honestly, at this point, we're not pushing it. They're doing quite well with the, you know, with the paper version. And we have somebody who puts it in a system for them, and it's, it works.
Yeah.
We don't want to lose them by overwhelming them with the technology. We just decided we're just going to keep it like this. But for anybody new that comes on, right, Tammy, when you hire, you know, a younger personnel, we try to do more online stuff.
Correct. Yeah, more technology with the younger staff members, but the older staff members. Why push them to retirement? Because I've had a couple of them mention that. Oh, if you keep pushing me with this computer stuff, I'm just going to retire, you know. So and we don't want to lose our staff. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. How many caregivers do you have?
I am at 30, and we just hired one. And what we've got one more coming on, and then we've got one more opening. So we're
33, I think we're budgeted for 33 to 38,
yeah,
depending on the volume of clients that we're coming.
We were able to stay before we really went full force ahead with the whole home health agency. We had only a companion or service, and we stayed with the paper timesheets and everything non-electronic until about 75 caregivers. So it was manageable, just like on an Excel spreadsheet, getting in the timesheets every 2 weeks. For us, it was every 2 weeks, you know, that was okay. But after that, once it got to be like more than that, we switched to telephony.
And it's that, listen, going electronic and digital, that's the way to go. It's more efficient. It, you know, you have correct information, but again, and that's what we're trying to do. We grandfathering our, you know, existing employees, we just do the, you know, paper timesheets, but with anybody new that comes on, we're trying to, and we tell them that, you know, we will go electronic.
Is anybody completely electronic?
Clear Care?
Yeah. Okay. Because I guess, do you accept both private pay and Medicaid?
Who are you talking to?
Whomever is using it.
Well, we don't have that in Canada, so it's not an issue. Sorry, Israela.
Yeah, just private.
Just private. Because we
don't take Medicaid.
Okay. So we have Medicaid and private, so we're actually doing both on Clear Care. We have the electronic version and the paper version, which I'm trying to streamline it and get it to one. But I think there's some settings in our Clear Care that needs to be adjusted. And I was just hoping that somebody might have some insight on what that should look like.
Do you use
so when you Clear say Care electronic, oh,
sorry. We just use Clear Care.
I was just going to say, Ardella is new to the to this. Right? This is the first time you've come on this call. I'd asked that at the beginning, but you weren't.
Cindy Libby Green has retired.
Yeah.
So if you guys are used to Cindy, she's retired as of last week. So she just asked me to pop on. So really, I'm just kind of here to listen to figure out what's going on. But Teresa, we do have Clear Care, so I was just going to ask a question.
Well, I was just going to say that Cindy, you guys may remember, she was very vocal in our sessions and always had a lot of great insight, and I'm sure she's going to be missed by her agency. So, Ardella, welcome.
Thank you.
Little group. And follow up. I just wanted to make sure everyone got a chance to say hello.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So were you going to say something to Teresa about Clear?
I was just going to ask Teresa, did they use telephony when they go to clock in? So call from the client's home phone?
We have on the Clear Care app, they're able to clock in and clock out that way. So we have some who have that ability, and those caregivers who don't have data on their phone, they do the telephony. So we have a combination finding out through the ClearCare app, you're not able to really track as much information as you can with telephony.
They should be have access to the same tasks, whatever you have attached to that shift. Toileting, la-da-da-da-da. They should have access no matter whether they clock in and clock out through telephony, meaning the landline phone, or mm-hmm. through the portal. They should have access to say yes or no.
They do. It's more of a tracking, running reports of when they actually, like the timing, if they, you know, clocked in from the actual client's house. But again, I think that's where we have some settings, administrative settings wrong, or that need to be tweaked in our ClearCare.
Glad to help you offline if you'd like. We've been using ClearCare for about 5+ years.
Okay, that would be great. I will reach out to you.
Yeah, reach out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Put your email in the chat, Ardella, so she can reach
out. Okay, sure.
Can I ask a follow-up question? What is ClearCare? Is it like the electronic verification system, or is it just an app?
Software. It's home care software that includes all different features. So one of the features for scheduling is telephony or, I'm assuming, electronic visit verification using an app. Mm-hmm. We use Matrix Care, offers the same thing. So the we use mostly telephony, almost exclusively telephony. I really want to switch to the app. There's a lot of benefits to the app. We should keep going around and let everyone.
Oh, we use Alaya Care, and we're all digitalized. We don't use any more timesheets. Right. Not many use telephony part of it. They clock in and clock out, and they just do it from their app. And it's working well, very, very well.
Yeah, it's the nice thing about the app is that any of these apps, you can when they're checking out for the day, they're clicking on the items they did with the client, and they can type in some notes.
Yeah.
Telephony is a real pain in the neck for that. A lot of the caregivers do not follow through with putting in the task codes when they use telephony. They never will. So an app is great because all they have to do is hit a button and check mark the items.
I'm wondering how many people don't use anything like that on this call. Does everyone use some sort of system to keep track? Okay, everyone does.
Well, no, I mean, the people that, no.
Can you please type the name of the, I tried to Google it, the telephony, please, in the chat so I can
check. Oh, sure.
Later. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sounds like, what's Elaine's? Put yours in the chat too.
Alaya Care. I'll put it in.
Okay.
We are trying to introduce now a system that's been invented by EasyCare from Ontario. And it's been used by Circle of Care. So I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with this, but it's been a nightmare so far.
Oh no.
We've been trying to implement this for 9 months now, mostly in home care. It's supposed to be, eventually we hope that would expand into case management as well, where we can put the case notes and financial applications for the clients, but mostly because that's the priority. We need to do the schedule and the clock in, clock out, and connect it to our financial accounting software in order to calculate salaries and holidays, vacations, sick days, etc. So it's going so slow, I'm not the part of that project, it's mostly the home support team that work, but when I'm involved in whatever my role is there, and what I hear from my colleagues, it's been so unsuccessful so far. So I'm really glad that I hear that there are some alternatives that work better. So we might even explore something else, because we have almost, I believe we have about 65 staff right now in home support, and we provide services to more than 100, or around 100 clients. So, and when it comes to part-time staff, changing hours of service, and someone's got sick, someone's got vacations, etc. So right. It's a constant game, you know, trying to do this kind of scheduling and trying to find a better option. So, and we have some HR issues with the staff as well, especially the staff that's been working for years and years with the client. So we've came across some situations that would be managed much better with technology in place, you know, to prevent some not intentional maybe, but crossing the boundary situations. So we really want to implement some technologies that would help us to save time and energy and money.
So you're not using scheduling software? It's all...
We've tried. There is some sort of pilot project, but I mean, there is on a daily basis. We've already bought cell phones for the staff. Some of them started using, because we came across the situation, many workers refused to use their personal cell phones to install this to install the app. They were thinking that we are controlling their location and all that personal kind of protection stuff. So we had to buy cell phones for work only, and we did install some for some of them already the app, and it's not working as we thought it would. And there's a lot of changes that's supposed to be done from original software from Ontario towards our kind of needs. And again, there's a lot of kind of tension now between the us as users and the organization, the company that creates it.
What is that called again?
So it's called EasyCare.
Oh, and not so easy. EasyCare is not so easy.
It's not so easy at all. Yeah, and that's that we didn't know about other options. We heard about them at Atlanta at the Holocaust survivors support or whatever it's called.
Alaya Care that Elaine mentioned is Canadian.
Yeah, so I would probably contact Elaine again. Yeah, we've already had a few conversations about other stuff, but maybe I should call you again.
I met someone at the Home Care Association of Florida conferences for a few years in a row, Linus, who works in sales for Alaya Care.
Uh-huh.
And I became friendly, and I love Alaya Care. I really wanted to switch to Alaya Care, but there's reasons we couldn't yet.
I think Elaine would acknowledge we did have many, many months of challenges on the back end. Dealing with our invoicing, and we had all kinds of problems, and there was a lot of time invested in getting the software to getting the software adjusted to the way our organization worked. So, and it wasn't easy. And now there are some things about the app that we used previously that we still wish we had in the app that in Alaya Care. So it was a long, long transition.
But I think they've learned from us. So I think for you, Tatiana, it'll be much better.
Because that's interesting. But thanks for sharing that, because sometimes things just seem like a golden solution.
It's not a golden solution, but they've learned a lot from us and made modifications. So I think for the it'll be easier for everyone.
Whatever comes after you, that will be much easier. Yeah. Okay.
So I just noticed Megan from Louisville was nodding, and are you having the same kind of issues as Tatiana was?
Well, we have, we switched over, and it was, I just am remembering all of it. We switched over, I guess it's been a little bit over a year now, from paper to Ancoda is what we use. And it's been, there are good things and there are frustrating things with it. They have done it. They came to Louisville actually for a week to train us on it and sort of customize it as much as they could to our agency. But there are still some things that we have with invoices and stuff where it's quite frustrating. But it is, I love that I don't have flow sheets that I'm chasing down every Monday. And it's certainly an improvement, but it's not a perfect. It's not perfect.
Let me go back. Does somebody here? It's very hard for me to see everyone, but I think we were just going around, so I can just see our names. Like Trisha, do you want to let us know how you're doing? Unmute.
I think I have a little bit of a different model based in Montreal. I think it may be similar to Tatana out in Edmonton, but so we cater only really to the Holocaust survivors living in their own homes. We do have an electronic program QualiCode that we use for all our scheduling needs that connects to a clocking in and clocking out system for the home care workers called Hestia. It definitely has its pros and cons, but overall, the con is when they clock in and clock out, they have to use the landline of the client, and that clocks them in from the client and it clocks them out of the client. We are trying to look at something more of an app to go onto their personal phones. So it's great to get these names of other options because we are trying to explore different options. I would say overall, our home care definitely has been consistent. It's been working. We have about 118 home care workers providing care to about a little bit over 200 clients right now. We lost clients in terms of once COVID hit, they themselves chose not to have service for the fear. And a lot of them started coming back in July and August. Mm-hmm. I don't know if many of you know, but right now Montreal is a hot spot and we're in a red zone right now. So it brings again that fear from the workers and fear from the clients. Where we're getting a lot more pushback right now is a lot of the clients who are reinstating care after being off are very specific about where the caregivers are, where they've been, their family members, like do they have children in school? Are they taking public transportation? And obviously there's only so much you're allowed to give about the client. And we've sent out 4 different home care letters from March until last week, just to the clients, letting them know that yes, we're able to provide the care and yes, we're very on top of the PPEs and in that sense, it's really amazing, but there's still this underlying risk that comes with accepting care into the home. And I think that letter sort of helps us validate that if you want the care, understand that there is this risk. But overall, it's working. We have a direct line to a public health line that oversees really all healthcare workers who are working in nursing homes, residences, CLSCs, like our government program. So if we feel someone's been exposed or if we need to understand a new mandate or directive, we have this direct line to an RN who helps us walk through how to handle a situation, which has really been amazing in guiding us through this whole new normal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How is everybody's recruitment efforts going for caregivers? And what are you doing? Because I'm having
That's something when I was mentioning about technology that was starting to be used like as a result of the pandemic. For us, we had, I wasn't really talking only about telephony, although it's an interesting topic. But for many of us, there's the issue, first of all, of just recruiting in general. We started to do recruiting completely digitally. We're using a software called Hireology, and they make it's like a business site, I suppose. It's called a career site, and then they do all the postings to the job boards. And once somebody applies, it's all digital. They can fill out our forms digitally. We have like customized emails of how to reply to people. We can interview them on Zoom. They have to fill out a questionnaire to pass, a certain number of questions, at least them that the answer should be yes in order for us to want to take the next step and things like that. So for many, many weeks, our HR manager was not in a position where she could or wanted to come into the office and interview caregivers. Mm-hmm. So this pushed us really hard, and And we're benefiting from it now because it's a lot of people are applying and we have a much wider range of applicants now.
So that's and what about cost savings as far as, it sounds like it's taking a lot off of your department
and yeah, putting it in. I would say that software along with one other piece called Care Connect that we're using for some other HR related issues like tracking expirations of CEUs and things, mm-hmm. and also sending out the daily COVID survey. So caregivers get a survey every morning on their phone.
Yeah, ClearCare does that.
Questions, right. Mm-hmm. So that together, I'd say, actually is in place of an assistant, at least a part-time assistant to the HR manager. And I don't even think a part-time assistant could do that because technology works better than humans when it works well.
Right. And how much is that
efficiently? Sorry?
Marissa, how much is that a month?
The the Hireology is it was a contract of about $6,000 for the year, and the Care Connect does a whole host of things. We're offering digital CEUs, like we pay $8 a month per caregiver who's active on the app, and that gives them digital CEUs and gives us an HR platform within Care Connect in order to track their expiration. So we start, even though they've been out in the world getting their CEUs all these years, everybody's on their own schedule, right? And we have to keep track of who's expiring. Now we've got all of our caregivers on one time frame together. Because we said, we don't care where you're at. Here's these 12, you know, CEU credits that you have to finish by November. And so for our purposes, it's going to streamline that tremendously because we have like 150 caregivers. And if their stuff expires at a different date, every single one of them, it's like a job in itself just to monitor that stuff. It's
right.
Hard. So those two pieces of technology possibly replaced an employee.
Or gave back somebody a lot of their time. I'm looking.
It was impossible. It wasn't even possible to do it. It wasn't. Right. It wasn't getting done. Let's just say it wasn't getting done.
Right. Well, I'm in HR, and I feel like, you know, for our whole department, and home care is just one of our departments, and I feel like I probably spend 90% of my time in home care, and we use ClearCare, but they're not using it efficiently. They've had it for a couple years. I've only been here for a year, so I'm trying to help them move forward and use it. And then we are looking at Hireology. We just got a 60-day quote or for free, so we're going to try it for 60 days, see how it goes, and then make that proposal to those that make those money decisions to see if it's something that we can do, because I know I personally need some assistance in that area.
If you want to speak to our HR manager who just last 3 months learning Hireology, I'll be happy to put you in touch with her.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much, Marissa.
How does it work for the survey? If they answer a question,
yeah,
an alert that they shouldn't be working?
Yes. They have to pass. So they need to answer all three questions. It's either yes or no. I think all three questions need to say no. So if somebody...
Do you know what the questions are or no?
I can send them to you.
Thank you.
I can send them to you. I have screenshots.
They ask four questions. You know, do you have any symptoms. COVID-related right. symptoms, blah, blah, blah. Then it asks four questions. And it also goes into, have you been exposed to anybody that's, you know, known positive? And then it asks, you know, have you traveled in the last 14 days? And then the final question is, you know, have you been exposed to anyone that has traveled?
Exactly. So if they answer yes to any of those questions, an alert is sent to whoever you set up to get the alert. So I get
that fourth question is new. I don't know. It wasn't always that. They didn't.
What?
That fourth question is new because they didn't used to say, have you been exposed to someone who's been traveling? I mean, I know that.
That's the fourth ClearCare question.
Contact tracing.
Interesting.
I'm going to put my email address. If someone could just let me know those questions, because we're looking into something like that as well.
Okay, we can do our delegate.
Sort of what the questions entail.
Okay.
I'm wondering what Debbie's thinking. You always have a lot to say, and you haven't said much today. That's a good thing. I mean, you know, that you have a lot to say.
Hi, everybody. I'm actually in the midst of a little bit of a COVID crisis at the moment. So that's why I'm kind of listening and waiting for my phone to ring some more. We had, we've had one caregiver in 7 months test positive. That was about 4 weeks ago. And then we had a first client, but who's part of a assisted living facility, test positive on Monday. And so we are took all the seven that had been in that apartment off the schedule, sent them for testing, monitoring for symptoms. And so that's just my daily life. So really what, you know, I'm curious what, I think one of the questions in the email was about testing. I'm still looking and researching testing. The problem is that rapid testing is not reliable. And other testing takes days or sometimes weeks. Right now, we're also a hot spot. We're a red zone in our county and in the county where the facility is. So it's just a lot. Today's been a rough day. Today started early with the nursing home calling me, you know, at 7:30 this morning and has not stopped since. So you guys are a welcome respite from dealing with all of that. But you know, we are struggling to hire. We've been struggling to hire all through this. We had hoped that when the $600 that the American government was adding to paychecks stopped, that people would want to come to work. And guess what? They don't. Because unless we can pay them a lot of money, they're going to make more on unemployment. Yep. And get more. They can get free food lots of places. They can get free everything. They can get their rent deferred. They can get their, they're not paying their phone bill or their electricity.
And so many have children doing school at home.
Home. So some of our day shifts switched to night shifts so that they could do school with their kids at home and are wanting to do night shift instead. And hiring's just, it's a nightmare. We use our local Jewish Vocational Service. It used to be called Jewish Vocational Service. It's JVS Career Services. They do our first round of interviews. They post the job for us on Indeed, and they do our first round interviews. But Hireology would be a lot less expensive than what I'm paying them, so I'm definitely going to look into that. But we all have the same exact challenges, no matter where we are in this country. It seems like everything you guys are saying, I'm nodding my head because, you know, I've got hiring issues. I have database issues. We use Atticare, which is not my favorite, but I inherited it and I just haven't had the time in the year and a half I've been doing this to change it. I've had to change so many other things and put so many other processes in place. So Atticare has its pluses and minuses. It does our scheduling and billing and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, my daily issue these days is COVID testing and who's got symptoms and how can I hire, you know, and
you know, Debbie, that doesn't seem like it's going to be going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the
tough part. It's not. And that's, you know, I think we've talked about it in this group and in our emails. Like, you know, I think when we thought, okay, week one, I can work from home. This will be fun. This will be different. And then like in July, we're like, oh, this is nice. I can wear shorts and a tank top to work. And it's freaking October. It's been 7 months this week. And we're tired. I mean, I said to all my staff today, I know you're tired. I sent them a text. Like, I know you're tired. I know you want this to be over, but it's getting worse, not better. And you've got to wear N95s and you've got to wear gloves and you've got to keep wipes in your car. And it's just reminding them on a daily basis that as much as we want to wish this away, it's not going anywhere. And so I guess maybe I'm sounding a little pessimistic today because it's, like I said, it's been a rough day since the start of the day and a rough week since Monday morning when I got the call that our client was positive. So, you know,
I think everyone on this call gets it. You don't have to apologize.
But you know, Debbie, it sounds like there's a lot of the onus is on you. In British Columbia, we don't do contact tracing from the home support program. So as soon as a case is recorded, like a testing comes positive, which we had one recently, one of our home support workers, I was so relieved to know that Vancouver Coastal Health, the COVID team, they take over, they do all the contact tracing, they inform all the people, they manage it. So it's a big relief.
That's why you're lucky to be in Canada, because the United States does not have their shit together. Excuse my French. I could not, the health department where this retirement community is never even returned my phone call when I called to report a positive staff member. And then I had the HR director call because I thought maybe he'll get through, and he got the exact same set of voicemails and phone numbers from the state that I got. So I don't know if the hospital report, you know, she got tested and I'm sure that was reported, but no one got back to me. So I feel so many days I'm going over and above what I'm supposed to do in the hopes that it's not going to hurt my business, but show that we take this really seriously. So I didn't have to take all seven staff people off the schedule when I had a COVID positive client. A, it was a rapid positive and I haven't even got confirmation that they were truly positive, but I did my due diligence and took those seven people off the schedule until I got a negative test result. And I'm still waiting. It's since Monday, we're waiting for results. So I hope in the long run, it's gonna do our business more good than harm, but we don't have the benefit of the Canadian government here. We are literally, I think all of us in the States could say every state has their own rules and their own mismanagement. And it's, you know, my daughter sitting down the hall, she's a New York City public school teacher. She has the same issue in New York. I mean, so it's unfortunate that the states are not handling it that effectively and feeling like we're getting an answer when we make a phone call.
Yeah. Well, Debbie, I know that we have had a couple incidents where we've had clients test positive and, you know, we did the same thing. We pulled all of the caregivers off for the 14-day quarantine. And what that the first time it happened was at the very beginning in March. So there wasn't testing available. So we did the 14 days. We monitored their symptoms. We sent them little gift bags of puzzle books to do and things of that nature. There was like seven of them. And then more recently we did have, and we have one caregiver, you know, that did show signs and symptoms, but then it turned out she was okay. The second time we had a client test positive and one of the caregivers contracted it. And in our state, well, she went through the 2 weeks of the Family First Coronavirus Response Act emergency sick leave. Well, she was out for an additional 2 weeks after that. Workers' comp denied the claim because we're one of those states that, you know, non-presumptive, so they can't prove that the caregiver contracted COVID-19 from our client. So the claim was denied. So we've recently put in a COVID-19 sick leave policy and using some of the PPP funds to, you know, reimburse her for those other 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it is, it's just a mess. The things that we have to constantly do, and I'm hoping that, you know, it will change. But we, you know, while we did remove the caregivers from the case, you know, everybody seems to want to panic and notify everybody else that they ever came in contact with. And that's where, you know, I have to come in and say, no, we're going to remain calm. We don't have that information yet. We're not going to notify everybody that everybody came in contact with. We're going to wait and see what the test results tell us, and then we'll go from there. But it seems like everybody wants to panic and run around and, you know, tell everyone. So I have to be the...
That's helpful. That was me today, honestly. I was a little panicky earlier in the day and I called my CEO and she talked me off the ledge and yeah. She's like, you don't have any other positives. You're doing everything right. You've made it 7 months without a case. Chill out and wait for the test result. And, you know, your inclination is because, like, one of them's with, you know, one of my favorite clients, like, God forbid something would happen to her. I feel so responsible. But I appreciate what you said also about the payment, because we're also looking at that. My gut was, for the seven people that we had to take off the schedule, was to pay them for two of their shifts, because they're all 12 hour, like, full-time people. And I didn't want them to take it out of their PTO. And our healthcare, the ESL wouldn't cover it for us because they're not positive yet and they don't have symptoms. So,
but would they qualify for the FFCRA?
They did not.
Emergency sick leave, because it's 100% of their pay. It doesn't have, one of the qualifications isn't that they have to test positive. It's if they are being quarantined.
So our HR person said, no, they wouldn't qualify. So I'll revisit that, but I had already made the decision to pay them for at least two of their three shifts. Cause it's until we would get the test results back, we figured it would be 2 to 3 shifts, you know, a week at max. So we were going to pay them. So we're going to use the PPP hopefully to do that as well. But
yeah, try to get the description of what's covered under FFCRA, because you need to see it for yourself. You know, it can come back to bite you, even though I'm sure you have a good relationship with all your caregivers. You never know if there's one that realizes that it wasn't handled correctly and complains. So,
right. You're right.
And we had a couple of, as we were getting to understand the rules about it, early on, like in April and May, we had to make some adjustments back when test results were taking forever, mm-hmm. come back. We would have, and the rule was that you couldn't come back without a negative test result, even if you weren't positive. Like, everything keeps changing, right? But back at the very beginning, if you thought you were exposed and then you stopped working to quarantine, you couldn't come back without without one negative test, right? If you never tested positive. But we couldn't get the test results, so they were out of work. They would quarantine for the 14 days.
And then another 7.
And then they couldn't even get their test results, so they were, like, not working for a full month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did push back about their pay because it wasn't their fault that they couldn't come back and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Now it's relaxed a little more with the number of days that they need to be out.
Israella, do you have anything you want to tell us? Anything happening in Connecticut?
Well, not much has changed. We hope to change some things. We do use ClearCare. We don't use it till the full capacity and all the features that it's offered. We communicate a lot better with the aides through ClearCare, but they mistake its use because we email, you know, it's like an email. For those of you who have ClearCare, when we want to communicate, we send it through the system. They receive it as a text. Some of them think that we're personally communicating with them and not 300 people all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they communicate back to us, it comes to me through an email. So unless I'm online looking at my email, I am not going to know their response because they're talking to me, they think, via text, which I would, you know, automatically get because that would ring. But my email, of course, doesn't ring. So there are a lot of positives and negatives in terms of communicating. There, of course, we have the telephony with ClearCare. They're not using it. We've got our fingers crossed that they're actually showing up to work and that they're leaving where they're supposed to leave. If you all remember, we're just a registry. They don't work for us. Mm-hmm. So that is somewhat of a relaxing benefit that we don't, you know, if there's a problem, we're only billing the families. And if the bill isn't accurate, the family will let us know. And we're pretty good about it. And they've been very good about it. But our biggest piece is the HR piece, where to become part of our registry, they must take a training program. And that's all been in person. A lot of our aides are Haitian and Jamaican. English is not their first language. I don't necessarily want somebody filling in an application online because God knows who's really filling it out. We need to talk with them. A big piece of what we do is not just interviewing somebody, you know, in an office for 5-10 minutes. We get to know them over 7 weeks. We want to make a good match between them and the families. So it's our training program piece as well that we haven't been able to have a class. As you said, I am in the office, but our conference room is not, we're not having any conferences and nobody's meeting in the conference room where I'm going to have, you know, a dozen or two dozen aides sitting in there and we're all in mass talking like this, you know, so that's very, you know, unproductive. We're trying to, the thing going forward is to bring our training program online. Our textbook is actually already been, let's call it retyped into a Word document. We could forward them things. They could watch the videos also online. Though we may be missing out on a lot of aides who don't have laptops, don't have computers. In general, I don't want them looking at me for 3 hours on a phone. That I believe me, 3 hours of me on a phone, I don't think I could stand. Never mind the aides. And so we're gonna try. We're getting things onboarded, I guess is the word, and we'll see where that takes us. I know that we'll be missing a lot of people who are very good aides, particularly the ones who are live-in people who don't even drive, you know. So that's part of the unfortunate part of not being able to have the classes. We're going to be missing a lot of good people. But we're going to try, or we're going to lose everybody new. Thank goodness, I have to say, we've been doing this a very long time. We have a lot of aides who are on our program who continuously provide us with a resource to be able to go here and go there and as new families call in. And that's all also over the phone, not even everybody. Again, I'm happy to talk to you guys for 45 minutes and an hour online, but to do an intake online, I haven't done yet. It's all been, you know, questions on the phone. And that's where we're at. Clear care and hoping for the best going forward. Connecticut, our numbers have been, my understanding is one of the best in the country. On the other hand, our numbers are going up. They're going up primarily with the younger people, schools, colleges, and parties. And so we're walking around with our masks.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be okay going forward.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, that's a lot. Sounds like
you're going in the right direction, you know. It's just hard.
Yes, I mean, I think all of us are going to be faced with having to digitize our trainings, do interviews via Zoom or FaceTime or whatever technology.
The future.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have been doing that here in Vancouver. So unfortunately, we're not allowed to have anybody into the office. Everything is being done remotely. So the way we've been doing it is so far so good. I mean, we haven't done a lot of hiring. We are also struggling with trying to find the right people. And we haven't had a lot, you know, the kind of applications probably that we have had in the past. But just to say that we have been using Zoom to interview people, and we've been doing orientation as well over Zoom. So that way we are able to impart quite a lot of, you know, the most important information we need the workers to have. However, we're still working on the process, because what ends up happening is we have these new workers going into clients. To some extent, you know, we're relying on the feedback of the client to say, you know, how things are going. And as well, we're working on, you know, trying to figure out what do we need to do in order to make sure that, first of all, the new workers are properly trained, that they're doing what they need to be doing, and as well that we know them well enough so that we can, like other people have mentioned, match them with the right clients. It's very difficult. It really is. And I can't say that we've been successful. We have hired a handful of people since I started, which was actually just in June. And, you know, it's kind of 50-50 in terms of how it's going.
We found that even when, even when we met with them, and we didn't have an extensive in-person orientation or anything like that. We never did. And we rely on their education that they bring with them, which we have the requirements. I mean, obviously the HHA course or a CNA license that came along with their coursework. Many people come with lots of years of experience, so they've been renewing their CNA license for years. I don't need to necessarily retrain them. We do have a Holocaust sensitivity training that we want our new caregivers to take, especially if they're going to work with a Holocaust survivor. 50% of our clients are Holocaust survivors. But my only point that I wanted to say is in either scenario, it is 50-50. You hire, you give the aid a chance, and then sometimes, you know, it just doesn't, you could tell from the feedback from the clients, this is not gonna work. But at least if it's a digital way of bringing them on board, I think you're spending like at least half of the amount of time that we used to in terms of time consuming tasks, because our HR manager used to sit in the room assisting an applicant in filling out an application, in filling out these financial forms, in understanding the consents. Everything is digital now. And even if they have a quick question, they text a quick question and then she can respond. And of course, you know, you can just get through many applications much more quickly than scheduling an appointment. They don't show up, rescheduling the appointment, all that kind of stuff. So if it turns out that an aide we hire doesn't stay very long because we're not happy with their work, we haven't wasted as much time as we used to.
Right.
On bringing them on board.
So we have a few more minutes on this call. I don't know if anyone has anything they want to bring up before we end, if they have any thoughts about where this group can go, if this open forum is a good idea, because we used to bring people in, but it seems like people like the idea of just getting together and talking about what's happening in the here and now. Is that true? Yeah? Okay. Ardell, is there anything you want to say? This is your first time. What do you think? Tell us.
I'm just taking it in. You know, Premier is a, do mostly private pay. We do work with a lot of Holocaust survivors because we're part of JESSA in Rockville. So we have a lot of HSP Holocaust clients. But we pretty much struggle with everything. You know, we found ClearCare works well for us. We do our scheduling, our billing, tracking of the daily visit care logs, meaning the tasks, you know, what they've done, what the caregivers have completed while they're there. So that works well for us. Hiring, struggling with the same thing, you know. Video calls to interview is a lot more efficient. I agree there for time-wise, but I agree with the other ones that, you know, you just can't get that feel of what kind of caregiver they're really going to be when you're not face-to-face. And we use my CNA jobs as a, it's one of our the platforms. It's like a, it's Indeed for CNAs, if you will. You can select your zip code. You can put your parameters in there. You know, we probably pay $300, I think, a month, something like that. But that gives us, but one thing about my CNAs, I'll give them credit. When we went to the pandemic, they opened up the ability to interview them right through my CNAs with a video. Wow. So that has worked well. And you can, you know, do it by, you want a driver, you want a mail, you want CNA, CMT, whatever, you know, you can set your filters of to what you're looking for. And that's worked pretty well. And we do our orientation via Zoom, and I hate that.
Yeah.
I've been doing that part for the HR, just presentation wise and stuff. But oh my gosh, that's just, you know, again, they all look like like this, you know, you can't get them up and get them done. So it's been difficult.
Yeah.
We have started doing our skills in person, bringing them into the building, doing two an hour. So there's three plus two plus the nurse. And the reason for that is because our state licensure states that it has to be done in person. So we're going back and backtracking and catching that up. But yeah, our state licensure says in person. So we're playing catch up with that. But otherwise, everything is Zoom. So struggling the same thing.
Okay.
And thank you for letting me join the meeting.
Good company.
It's been very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great the numbers.
Our next meeting is scheduled for November 19th, also at 1 o'clock. I think it was 1 o'clock. And if you have suggestions or anything that comes up between now and then that you would want to suggest that we discuss at the meeting or want to ask one of the members of our group, then please reach out and let us know. And if you come across some super interesting findings that you think the rest of us would be interested in knowing, please share it with us. That's what we're here for. I feel like now it's become a support group.
Good. I always said that's what they would become over time, because I feel like so many people really, you feel alone. At least, you know, you've got all these people around.
That's why we started this. That's why we started this.
That's why you, Marissa, really came to me and said, we need something like this, because, you know,
we tried just with a Facebook page. That didn't work.
So thank you, Marissa, for pushing us. And I'm glad all of you are here. And if you do have forms or resources, just send them to me. I'll put them in the resource library. I've told you all what the username and password is. Should I give it to you again so you can put it somewhere where you won't forget it, because it's so easy to get into it? The username, everyone has the same one, hello, is network, capital N, network. And the password is all caps, NJHSA, 18. I hope that no hacker from China can figure that one out.
But where can you remind, and there's somebody here who hasn't been here before, where do you go? Where do you go?
So you go to our website, www.networkjhsa.org, right? So at the end of my email, of course. And members only, there's a little tab on the top right, it says members only, and you click there. And then you
can find the resource library.
Username and password. Then you go to the resource library, right? So you always have to go into the resource library. If you're looking for calls and webinars, what's coming up, what's going on, you can click on that. But if you want to get materials, get resources, you have to go to the resource library. Then you filter it by the affinity group and your home care, right? And then you see everything you need. Right.
And then if anybody has anything that you want to add there, email it to Lisa.
Right. And we are getting a new resource library, which will be a lot cleaner, in that you'll be able to go to the home care and then you'll have folders within the home care that say waiver forms, that say, you know, resources for caregivers or whatever it is, whatever the categories are, because right now it's sort of a long list, but we hopefully titled everything so that you can see what it is.
All right.
Okay.
Great.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. Stay
safe. Thank
you. Well, good luck, Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.